It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio. In October of last year, the Iowa Supreme Court heard a case concerning what some might call a loophole in Iowa's open meetings law. After nearly a five-month wait, their decision came down this morning. Iowa Public Radio reporter Sarah Bowden joins us to discuss the case. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Claire.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell me, how did the court rule?
So the court ruled that if you use someone as an agent and act, make a decision or communicate through this person who's acting on your behalf, then that does violate the court's open meeting, or that does violate Iowa's open meetings law. In Iowa, a meeting is defined as when a governing body, so this could be a commission, a council, a board, when the majority of members meet to deliberate. So in the case of Warren County, anytime two of the three members have a meeting to deliberate, that means that it triggers the open meetings law.
So before we get to the Supreme Court case, tell me about the event that catalyzed it.
Yeah. So early 2014, the Warren County Board of Supervisors started considering a reorganization, which meant layoffs, which resulted in the layoffs of 12 county employees. And because they were aware of this rule that to trigger Iowa's open meetings law, anytime a majority of members of a governing body met, they kind of create the sort of workaround to try and skirt the state's open meetings law, which is not only includes in-person meetings, but also electronic meetings. So email, phone conversations, that sort of thing. So what they did is they had their county administrator kind of act as a go-between among the three board supervisors to flesh out ideas so as they wouldn't have to discuss it publicly and maybe have to answer awkward questions or deal with public anger. So, for example, the county administrator drafted up these letters with recommended severance packages, and then the three supervisors looked at the letters, made suggestions, gave her the suggestions, which she then relayed to the other two supervisors. And long before the board actually publicly voted, like a couple weeks before the board publicly voted on to do these layoffs, county employees received these letters saying that their positions were probably going to be eliminated. And so then they actually voted, I think it was like early April. And this vote was like at a 20-minute meeting. There was no public comment, no questions. So really, this whole process took place outside the public eye.
Interesting. So the employees sued.
They sued.
What were their arguments?
Well, their arguments were that when you have a meeting of ideas, a meeting of concepts, even if the county board wasn't in the same room together, there was still a meeting. They lost that argument at the district court, and then it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Interesting. What was the Board of Supervisors' response to that?
Well, they're saying that they didn't have a meeting. They weren't in person. They weren't meeting electronically. So the whole idea of meeting of a collection of concepts they thought was bunk. It's important to note that Iowa's Open Meetings Code applies to both formal and informal meetings, and it says that any ambiguity should be resolved in favor of openness.
Yeah. So you mentioned this concept of an agent. The ruling depends on whether the Board of Supervisors so-called acted through an agent. Can you unpack that for us?
Yeah. So this is a concept that goes back to the early 20th century by Associate Supreme Court Justice, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, who says, "He who acts through another acts as himself." And it's important to note that this was not a concept presented in the brief from the former employees. It was put forth by an amicus brief submitted by the Iowa Freedom of Information Council and the Iowa Newspaper Association, which Ryan Copemans, who you had on earlier, he was actually the attorney to pen this brief.
Interesting. Is that typical that a court issues an opinion using the theory set forth by that type of brief?
Definitely not. It's very rare. And in fact, in his dissent, I believe it was Justice Waterman said, like, we don't do this. We don't take briefs or arguments generally from an amicus brief. This is not something we generally do. And he took exception to that. But hey, it worked. So, I mean, congrats, Ryan.
So the court reversed the lower ruling and, quote, remanded it with directions. What does that mean?
Well, it means that even though it was pretty transparent in the majority opinion that they felt like the Board of Supervisors had used the county administrator as an agent, that's not really for the Supreme Court to decide, though it could eventually work its way up to the Supreme Court again, but it first needs to start at the district court. So, and there was no disagreement with what had happened between the two parties. So what I'm guessing is probably going to happen is that this is going to go back to the district court. The district court judge, who didn't seem happy about what had occurred but felt like she had to rule in a certain way, will now say probably, yes, you used your county administrator as an agent. And then probably things will go much more favorably for the former county employees who had sued.
Interesting. So you mentioned earlier Ryan Copeman's working with the Iowa Freedom of Information Council. You know, this case was originally just between the Board of Supervisors and the employees they fired, but that Freedom of Information Council and the Iowa Newspaper Association got involved. What's their stake in this?
Well, open records, power of the press, the ability to watch your government in action. It's no secret that these sorts of organizations, journalistic advocacy organizations, really advocate for governmental transparency. And so while they're happy that this loophole has been closed, I talked with the head of the newspaper organization this morning, and she said, well, she's very, very happy that this happened. She still, about how the court ruled, she still says that there's a walking quorum or shuttle diplomacy problem because of that whole, it has to be a majority rule. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you have a city council that has seven members, three of those members or two of those members can meet and then go and talk to other members and work something out. So what happened here in Warren County could potentially happen and be legal with a larger elected body or a governing body.
Interesting. So end of the day, what does this mean for citizens' access to government communication?
Well, it means a good thing, especially because there are so many three-member panels and boards and councils in Iowa. For example, the Iowa Utilities Board, that's a three-member board or a three-member it's a three-member board or commission. So it means good things for Iowans who believe that they want to be able to see their government in action, have access to how officials make decisions. But this walking quorum, this shuttle diplomacy issue, I guess you could say, it's not like it's off the table.
Okay. Well, Sarah Bowden, Iowa Public Radio reporter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Claire.